as they arrive down at the start here. Just having a quick look here at the paper to see what they fancied for this race.
Broadcasting live from Cabo OTB Studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I am Seth Merrow, and we'll talk some Racing Across America because it was a great day yesterday at Parks. They had some stakes at Belmont. Nice nighttime card with some stakes over at Churchill as well. We'll do a little preview of tomorrow towards the end of the show. We'll be joined by Tony Kahlo because they have a couple of nice stakes out at Finger Lakes tomorrow. So a nice Monday lineup of action upstate New York. So we'll hit on that as well. But to kick off the show, we will go down to Parks and get a little recap of yesterday with the man on the continuing road trip. Talked last week after the sweep of Kentucky and up to Presque Isle and whatnot. But yesterday he was down at Parks. Our friend Steve Bick. Steve, good morning.
Seth, good morning. Capital District, good morning.
And why don't we start out by going back to, because we talked to you on Sunday, but you were headed over to Presque Isle for the Masters on Monday night. Why don't you give us a little recap of the Presque Isle visit?
Presque Isle was really eye-opening. Yeah, I ended up being there three different days, after Labor Day and then for Masters, and then I did a recap show on Monday, which included Glenn Wismer, the longtime Western Canadian horseman that has been, you know, in the U.S. for, 45 years, started training when he was 18 years old. He won the Presque Isle Mile, and that's a horse, Surly Furious, that needs to be kept track of. That horse is going to end up in the Coolmore, the former Shadwell Turf Mile. But, you know, Safi Joseph and the winner, obviously, you know, a very nice filly, Artie's Princess, and I sort of glossed over her, which was ended up being kind of silly. I felt stupid when she came marauding home. But Presque Isle's got a very nice thing going. They've only won in two seasons, the last 2 years. It wasn't even a breakdown; it was a heel flip. They've never had a horse basically the last 2 years go wrong on the surface. They run every 2 weeks. These horses, they're fit. It's a fabulous, clean little facility, and I can't recommend it enough. It's really a pleasant experience. They had a nice crowd on hand, and they had terrific handle on what they think is the best card they've ever put together. And then you shift over to the eastern side of the state, and you had another record performance by handle yesterday at Philly. I mean, outlandish, $19 million almost. They topped last year's record by close to $6 million, 37% increase. It was unbelievable, terrific. Yesterday there was, it's always a great show at Parks. I know people like to ridicule the racing and management, but you go there for Derby Cotillion Day, and you come off with a very different impression. They always put on a terrific show for yesterday.
Well, certainly when people pulled up the PPs, that was, folks were recognizing they put together a great kind of a blockbuster card with the stakes and some undercard races. Nice full fields yesterday. I had Jessica Paquette on and Tim Wilkin on yesterday. They're both were both down there. And Tim was saying, I talked to him probably a little after 10, and he said people had lined up early in the morning and they were already filing in and looking at the simulcast signal during the day. It looked like a great crowd, and it was certainly great weather.
Well, they had they've got what they call their picnic grove, which is off to the up the stretch, basically, which is a huge playground, and they fill it up with food trucks and with all kinds of activities, and so families come and they set up they set up the blankets and tents, and it's very successful. Yeah, pony rides. That is always a hit, and it's very important. You know, just like at Saratoga, you bring the kids, and you know, they enjoy it. Then there's the building, and the building itself is five floors. There's a lot of room, and people are spread out, so it never feels particularly crowded. The track apron, though, was full. They don't really give you an attendance. They can only estimate attendance. But it's always a fabulous day there. And I was with Johnny DeSantis, with Johnny D and his wife Gail, as we always are every year. And Johnny had actually been there for the Pennsylvania Day at the races as well, but now it's probably close to a month ago, for the Pennsylvania Bread Card. And he said that was a big festive activity kind of a day. So when there's something to bring the people out, they come out. You know, very famously, there was the workout when Smarty Jones had that public workout, and 30,000 people showed up. So they like racing in the area. That, and they also like harness racing. And there's a lot to recommend. It would be nice if parks management was a little bit more proactive, because they could really be a signal. It's already a solid D signal, and it gets a lot of money from the computer groups. You know, but they don't pay a lot of attention to the handle from a takeout standpoint. They've had notoriously high handle for years, high takeout for years, and it's too bad, because the product could be very bettable. They don't even have a watering system, a sprinkler system for the turf course. You know, the turf course is famously bad and hard to maintain. They have like a portable watering system. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, if they took care of that turf course, they could really put on a quality show on a regular basis. So it's too bad that it's only a handful of days of year that the park signal is popular. And, you know, people also were interested in the force out yesterday on the pick five. They have a jackpot pick five, and it was a very bettable sequence yesterday. So, you know, there's a lot going for it, but unfortunately, management doesn't really take advantage.
Yeah, and you mentioned a couple of the things that folks do mention when they're critical, the takeout and the turf course. And yeah, those are both things, if management focused a little bit, they could kind of tweak those. I mean, they have an all year long product, which makes it attractive to bettors, because they can get into it and get used to the rhythm. And they have, you know, their location makes them in close proximity to the other major northeastern tracks, so there are familiar names going in and out. And so, but it was nice to see yesterday, and a big day down there, and celebrated by horse players all over the place because of the great card. Let's jump into it. Let's take a look at the Pennsylvania Derby. Have the stretch run here. I like Tabe. I just thought, you know, lightly raced, and what we had seen so far had shown a lot of promise. Had that Ding Dong battle in the Haskell, running second to Cyberknife. Tabe does get it done. We're watching here down the stretch, the number 8 horse.
And the track is always notoriously speed favoring, and it was yesterday as well. You didn't necessarily have to be on the lead, but you needed to be fairly close. So when we look at where Zandon and Cyberknife came from, they were able to at least rally for their shares for second and third against a racetrack that is favoring speed. I actually watched the race in close proximity to Antonio Seno. He wanted Paco Lopez to get the lead with Simplification. So he was a little disappointed that Paco, you know, basically came up to the lead and then sat second. He did inherit the lead at the top of the stretch, and ultimately got even swamped for third by Cyberknife. But Sano was not disappointed. It's going to be very interesting to see where these horses, you know, how they go forward from here. Let's talk about the winner, though. And the winner is maturing on a steady basis. He's obviously, with racing experience, you know, this is a serious horse. He's going to be around next year. And we were with Gary Young last night. Gary came with us for dinner, so it was a lot of fun to celebrate the win. Amr Zidane is was out of the country, so he was not there. So Gary, basically, who picked the horse out, of course, and bought the horse for Zidane, also had bought Medina Spirit for Zidane. Gary, you know, was pretty much representing the connections. And they're very, very excited. And Baffert, if you saw some of the quotes that Dave Rennie got, you know, Baffert is thrilled. This is a horse that they always felt, you know, had this kind of ability. And, you know, running this kind of a race sets him up for a terrific confrontation, you know, with Flightline. You know, between Flightline, Taba, and Epicenter, I mean, there's your three principles. Let's see about, you know, Life is Great, you know, where, how that, you know, that situation, if he's going to run in the dirt, in the classic or in the mile. But the three-year-olds that are going to confront Flightline are very, very good. And, you know, then there's Zandon, and then there's Cyberknife. So we've got three, four, five three-year-olds that are ready to get to Keeneland and take on Flightline. It's going to take a special effort, but let's see how much pace pressure Flightline faces and, you know, put them in the gate. It's going to be, it really, things could not have really materialized any better. I mean, Epicenter is obviously staying home and waiting for the classic, and that pays off, I think. I would not write off Zandon and Cyberknife completely because I think the racetrack was against them a little bit. But it was a terrific, you know, terrific step forward for Taba, and particularly happy for our friend Gary Young. It was really a pleasure to celebrate with him last night too.
Yeah, I was trying to find this. You were talking the quote in one of the Dave Grenig articles from yesterday where he kind of confirmed what you're saying. He referred to it as a track that was favoring horses that were near or close, you know, close on the lead or close to the lead. I can't find the exact quote, but I did find the Baffert quote in his article talking about heading out to face off with Flightline. Baffert said, "I don't know how close we'll get, but we're coming for them." So it is shaping up now with the nice late season performances by some of the three-year-olds to make that Breeders' Cup Classic kind of exciting. Taba gets it done. Mike Smith on board for Bob Baffert in the Pennsylvania Derby. Let's go one race earlier in the Cotillion. We're going to watch the stretch run there. It will be number 9 Society getting it done for Steve Asmussen. I had Jessica Paquette on yesterday. I'll tip my cap to her. She liked Society in the race. I went with Shahama. Wound up a little bit of a disappointing fifth at 8-1. I thought that might be an upcomer, but the upcomer does have to be Society, who is now 5-6 of the Los Angeles American Oaks, but certainly validated what she'd done otherwise with the performance yesterday and inserts herself in the picture amongst the top three-year-old fillies now. Your thoughts in the Cotillion?
Well, the thing that was interesting about this performance, basically you knew that she and Adair Manor were, you know, were going to be forward and had potential to basically cancel each other out. And Adair Manor could simply not keep up with Society at all. And I'm eager to hear Baffert's thoughts because Adair Manor, I thought she was ready for the same kind of step forward. Green up down inside because you knew that, you know, she was going to have to go. The Pletcher Team Valor runner that had won the Catherine Sophia, you would have thought that she would have pressed the pace and pressed the issue. Instead, Society gets away with a fairly easy opening quarter, 23-1, definitely, you know, picked up the pace at that point for a 46-3 second, you know, a half mile, essentially. So, and even sub 111 for three quarters, but nobody was there. I mean, she was building the lead on the backstretch, and you could see going into the turn, I said, nobody's going to catch her at this point. It was, you would have thought by the 11th race that jocks would have realized and the horsemen would have said, you can't let anybody get away here. And instead, she gets away. And so, you know, it was one thing to win. It was one thing to win the Charlestown Oaks, where you're going two turns, seven furlongs. this is something else entirely. I thought, and I'm kicking myself because my first pass, when I first looked at this, I said, all right, well, it's Society and Shahama and Adair Manor and probably Greenup. I was against Secret Oath. I mean, Lucas had said she was going to take a break and she needed time off. Instead, he turns right around and shoves her right into this race. She actually did not run terrible. She did kind of run like a tired horse. I mean, she got beat 8 lengths, but she still was third in a grade one. So she, you know, she didn't disgrace herself at all. But you said you were giving her a rest, and then you run her. I sort of don't get that, but all right. Society, nice performance. How about Gunrunner yesterday? Gunrunner sweeps the two grade ones. Not only does he sweep the two grade ones, he had three of the four stake winners at Churchill yesterday as well. So arguably, and New York's race was the Athena on grass, so arguably there were six major grade ones or graded stakes and rich stakes, and Gunrunner sired five of the six winners.
Incredible what he's done after leaving the racetrack. He was great on the racetrack, but yeah, he's been phenomenal, just incredible. And you know, we had Ron Winchell on, of course, and that was fun as well. But all right, let's talk a little bit more about some of the stakes action yesterday at Parks. The Gallant Bob, 3-year-old sprinting. Mentioning Gunrunner and whatnot, Gunite and Conniger were in the stake down at Churchill, coming out of the finish. They were second and fourth in the Alan Jerkins behind Jack Christopher. So I'm not sure this was the saltiest field of 3-year-old sprinters for the year 2022, but it does wind up to be Scaramouche, the number 14, getting it done in here. Running second will be Of a Revolution. Running Son of a Gun runs third. What were your thoughts, Bob?
Well, Bob has great desire as a come from. And I said on Friday, when we were handicapping 15 horse, and when I see it, I thought 10 of 14 seemed eligible for a win, and that includes her a move. But you know, at the point, you have to draw a line. And so I thought, 14 hole is a lot to ask. But Johnny, give Johnny a lot of credit. He got him in position, kept him close enough early so that he wasn't left with too much work to do. There were, the runner-up actually was pretty far back early. And I know that Running Son of a Gun and Nakatomi, that they were way back early. So if you left yourself with a lot to do, you were going to be hard-pressed. And, the 45-to-1 shot, speaking, ended up, I think, sixth. Yeah, it was sixth, beating about 5 lengths. So that kind of tells you the speed-favoring racetrack is going to carry some horses. Scaramouche ran a tremendous race. The 9-to-1 was a very fair price on him. To hit him for $20.20, well done. That positioning, this being the 10th race, it was part of the middle pick four, and it was part of the pick five and the late pick four. And personally, kind of did me in because I just could not get Scaramouche on the main ticket. So. Nice effort, though, and Lupe Preciado, being a local horse doesn't hurt either. It's a racetrack that can be deep and tiring for some horses that get over it for the first time. But nice effort. And Johnny, I put up a picture. Johnny Velasquez, in fact, when he came out for the Greenwood Cup, I got a great couple of pictures of him signing autographs. Johnny and Irad and all the jocks, actually, every time they came out, they come down that set of stairs from the jocks room, and I put up a bunch of pictures from the jocks room actually on the Twitter account. People might have enjoyed it, and they so generous with people and signing all the giveaway hats. Really, really nice to see it. The proximity to the participants. It's very good for the game.
Yeah, we just put up the picture, and it was nice to see. Always nice to see when the fans get to interact with the players. And yesterday it was hat giveaway day, and so folks getting their hats signed there. Want to move along here a little bit. I'll let you comment if you want to on either the Turf Monster or the Greenwood Cup, but I do want to show the Dirt Mile because I'm interested to hear you know, what the reaction might have been down there to the DQ. I watching, for me, and we're going to watch the stretch run here to the dirt mile. And, again, there's a DQ that is going to move up our winner, Mind Control. Farmo Power, the number four horse, comes under the wire first. Number two, Mind Control, second. But there's a bump in the stretch. There's a little bit of herding going on if you watch the head-on shot. For me, I would have tilted very slightly towards a takedown. It wouldn't have upset me much if they hadn't. But they did move out about three paths if you look to the head-on. There is a little bump. But what was the reaction down there to the DQ?
It was an obvious DQ.
Okay.
He hit him three times. It wasn't a bump. He hit him three separate times. And from the 16th pole to the wire, he herds him out three fucking paths. I mean, you got to be kidding me. This was so obvious. And I mean, it wasn't anybody. I was with Tony Black. So Tony right away said, oh, my God, absolutely he's got to come down. And you know, listen, I felt bad. I mean, 12-1, Dexter Haddock made a huge mistake here. He's whipping left-handed. Put away the left-handed stick.
Yeah.
If he takes away the left-handed stick, then that horse does not come down. But he's hitting left-handed. How is it not a this was a 90-10 in terms of 90% taking him down and 10% leaving him up. I didn't think there was a question that this horse wasn't coming down.
I was about 60-40, but I will say, just because they don't adjudicate on herding that much, and that to me was the difference there, you know, at the end, as you say, moves him out three paths at the end. And so I just wasn't quite sure how they were going to, but yeah,
what about the hip check?
Yeah.
He get the second bump, there's the third bump approaching the wire. There's the first bump at the eighth pole, but it's that second bump where he hits him with his hind end and he knocks him off stride.
Yeah.
You knock a horse off stride, you know, some people will say, oh, he was never going by. Well, sure he was never going by. Let's see. You kept cutting him off, you kept hurting him, and you knocked him off stride. Yeah, of course he's not going to go by.
And so, again, it was a DQ for people who weren't watching yesterday, and Mind Control does get moved up. Going to be interesting to follow Mind Control a little bit coming out of this one as well. And I will let you, if you have any comments on either the Greenwood or the Turf Monster. The Turf Monster, it was, that's right, the Greenwood, riding with Biden on the front end under Paco Lopez all the way around in the marathon event. Any thoughts there?
Well, that was actually a very good value. That was one of the best prices of the day. Society at 8-1 and you know, what did we get? $19 on riding with Biden. I thought that was a silly price because it certainly felt like Fearless and riding with Biden. Those were the two speeds. Fearless never even got close. And so when Paco Lopez got away with a 49.5, it became pretty clear that riding with Biden was going to be tough to reel in. So nice win, and Butchie Reed has won this race. I don't know, at least three times, maybe four.
Speaking of that, Baffert won the Pennsylvania Derby a total of four times now. But Asmussen in the Cotillion, that was his fifth win in the Cotillion. That's kind of incredible.
Oh, that is incredible, and I didn't realize that. But now that you say it, now that you mention that, good point.
No, it's crazy. All right, before we let you go, we have to run through some of the photos you sent. We looked at the Johnny sign and the autographs, but we also you mentioned going out to dinner with Johnny D and company, and we always have to do a little road trip diner or restaurant review. So. Give us a little review on the restaurant you say you annually stop at after the Pennsylvania Derby.
We do. This is a place about 15 minutes away from Parks. It's in Morrisville. It's called Non Solo Pasta. It's really right on the New Jersey border. And so Trenton is you know, the state capital is only about 10 minutes away as well. It's former Governor Christie's favorite Italian restaurant, which is quite an endorsement given his waistline. And you then fold in the horseman from Parks. That it's John Service's favorite place. See Butchie and Ginny Reed there a lot. It's out of this world. Johnny's wife, Gail, who is a wine merchant, she sells that. That's how we ever started going there about 10 years ago. And we go every year. The food is just spectacular. The chef owner, Gennaro, the guy is a genius. So we had a fabulous dinner. And as I mentioned, Gary Young was with us. Earlier in the day, Tina and I have our own tradition. In the morning on Pennsylvania Derby Day, we go to the Reading Terminal Market. We go to the Knicks for their roast pork and their roast beef. So at 10 o'clock, we're having the fabulous, the Knicks sandwich. On Friday night when Tina got in, I took her to the Elvez, which is fabulous, on Locust, Mexican place, and Van Leeuwen for ice cream. And the place, it's just Philadelphia for us. It's our favorite town. Although I took Tina to Chicago. She's going to be high on Chicago, I think, going forward. But we love going to Philly. This is always one of our favorite fall trips.
Are you a cheesesteak guy?
Oh, of course. Am I a cheesesteak guy? What kind of question is that? What is wrong with you?
I don't know. Maybe.
Unbelievable.
You never know. You never know.
I never know. Of course I'm a cheesesteak guy. But also, I'm also big on the roast pork. You get the Italian roast pork, which is very similar to either a cheesesteak. There's also the roast beef sandwiches. The hot roast beef you get in Philly. But the roast pork is thinly sliced pork loin with sharp provolone and then with Italian greens, either greens or broccoli rabe. And it's spicy and it's sharp cheddar and sharp provolone. And then the roast pork, which is mouthwatering. So, any of those sandwiches are good with me. And then you start talking about hoagies. You start getting into the, Italian meat hoagie realm as well. It's so much fun. And pretzels. I also got a four-pack of pretzels on Thursday or Friday. It's the best. It's nothing like Philly.
Sandwiches sound good. I'm not a big pretzel guy, though, but the sandwiches do sound good. Want to pull up another picture because it's B-Doc showing up to watch B-Doc run, and I love the picture because I'm guessing the photographer over on the left side of the picture is a local because she is clearly enamored with the Eagles legend showing up to watch his namesake run.
Well, everybody was thrilled to see Brian Dawkins on hand for the day. And, of course, Joe Besseker named that nice horse of his B-Doc. And so Brian was made aware of the horse in recent months. And then they got him to come for the day. He gave riders up. He gave the riders up call in the paddock.
Oh, no.
And he then also presented the trophy. So it was a big, it was really a great day to have, one of the great all-time Eagles on hand. So we had a fun time.
Nice.
Got to meet Brian, as an Eagle season ticket holder for years and a sick Eagle fan. A real thrill for me, too.
Excellent. And finally, you mentioned earlier, if people go to your Twitter feed, they can see more of these pictures from the jocks room. But you have a shot of Johnny D and Mike Smith. Johnny D's a Philadelphia-based guy?
Johnny grew up right off of Oregon Avenue in South Philly. His father actually was the talent agent for all those Philadelphia musical doo-wop legends, Bobby Rydell and I forget some of the others. His father was a big-time manager in the music industry, and Philadelphia, the Orleans, South Street, and very, a real classic South Philly Italian family. Johnny's taken us to his neighborhood and shown us where he's grown up in the past. And then he was out in California for 35 years. He went to Occidental College, where he played baseball. He was recruited to play baseball at Occidental. He also played football at Occidental. And then he stayed there. And, of course, he was Sandy Hawley's agent for many years and became a legend in his own right in the game. He came back to Philadelphia about 10 years ago, he and his wife, Gail. And they live in Bluebell up in the suburbs. So it's always great. Johnny, you know, Johnny's one of my closest friends, and it's a pleasure to be in Philly with Johnny.
Nice, nice.
And he and Smith go back together 40 years.
Ah, nice. So, again, a nice day down at Parks, and we were happy to have you on board to recap as the road trip continues. Although I say, I'm imagining the road trip is now winding up, or are you headed out of town again? And between Presque Isle and Parks, you were back home, right?
Yeah, I was home this week, well, at least for 2 days anyway. 2 days at home, and now we've got actually a fairly quiet three weeks before we head to Keeneland.
For Breeders' Cup. Very good. Steve, always appreciate it checking in. And we saw Tina in the picture in the restaurant, and I'm sure you're sitting next door in the car right now, so say hello for us. Safe travels on the way home. And you said you're headed up to the Big E for an afternoon of multi-state fair action, so we wish you fun there. And as I say, travel safely home. Appreciate the visit.
Not at all. It's my pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Steve Bick, again, continuing his post-Saratoga road trip, which actually overlapped Labor Day. He took off on Labor Day and Presque Isle and the Keeneland sales and Kentucky Downs and back to Presque Isle and Parks yesterday. So we thought we'd pull him in for a little firsthand look at the action yesterday at Parks. All right, we will take a break. I think we'll come back and do a little quick recap maybe of those Churchill Stakes before we're joined by Tony Kahlo in a few. So stay tuned. Racing Across America continues.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Bridgestone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Bridgestone. Bridgestone surges past. Bridgestone wins the Belmont Stakes.
But here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Bob Brown. These two are travels head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player? To have a better knowledge of the game? To be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Welcome back. Let's just take a quick look at some of those stakes last night at Churchill, because there's some familiar names in and amongst that group, and names that will be worth watching going forward as well. The Bourbon Trail last night featured Homebrew, who for Brad Cox had won the Oaklawn, had won the Pegasus, was coming out of a fourth behind Skippy Longstocking in the West Virginia Derby. Ethereal Road for Wayne Lucas had won the Sir Barton at Pimlico earlier this year and had a little bit of promise, showed a little bit of promise. Creative Minister for Ken McPeak. Third in the Preakness, had shown a little bit of ability early in the career and seemed to have some promise on the three-year-old scene. Had run third in a couple of minor three-year-old stakes just prior to yesterday, the Curlin at Saratoga and the Smarty Jones down at Parks. And they all played into the run down the stretch here with number two Homebrew getting it done under Ricardo Santana for Brad Cox. Creative Minister runs second in here, and running third is War Campaign. Ethereal Road, a little bit disappointing, running fifth in the field. The favorite was St. Tappet. That one runs ninth in the field of nine. St. Tappet being lately raced, coming in 2-for-2 for Todd Pletcher, stepping into stakes company, and just obviously was not up to the task yesterday, running again last in the field. But Homebrew gets it done. It was 5-to-1 over 6-to-1. The chart margin nose from first to second, second to third. But with those prices, you wound up a little exacted just under $80. With, again, a couple of horses that on the three-year-old side of things had shown a little bit of promise earlier this year, and they get it done yesterday. Homebrew on top in the Bourbon Trail for Brad Cox. A little bit earlier was the Dogwood. These are three-year-old fillies sprinting 7 furlongs. Everybody had their eyes on this one, with Echo Zulu returning out of a fourth-place finish in the Kentucky Oaks that snapped a five-race win streak that started her career. The fourth-place finish in the Kentucky Derby, obviously at a mile and an eighth. Off since then, comes back at the 7 furlongs yesterday. What was she going to do? She was going to win decisively at 61 cents to the dollar. Again, with the penny break, 51 cents to the dollar, excuse me, with the penny breakage down there. Paid $3.02. Echo Zulu, the chart margin, just over 5 lengths. Gets it done pretty easily over Tarabi for Cherie DeVoe and Colorful Mischief in the field of 5. But again, nice return for Echo Zulu last night in the Dogwood. And finally, we'll take a look at one more notable from yesterday. Again, with familiar names. I kind of alluded to this when we were talking to Steve earlier, because that Gallant Bob, to me, at Parks was a nice big field, nice bettable field, but it was not necessarily the saltiest field of three-year-old sprinters. And, you know, we go back to the Alan Jerkins up at Saratoga. You had Jack Christopher in there, and behind Jack Christopher, Gunite and Conniger, and they showed up last night. Not Jack Christopher, but Gunite and Conniger. And Gunite gets it done. Second last time in the Alan Jerkins, 2 starts back, had won the Amsterdam up at Saratoga, had shown a lot of ability throughout the career, having won the Hopeful last year at Saratoga for Steve Asmussen, and won it nicely. The number 7 horse, Gunite here, winning by a chart margin of 3. Conniger runs second. That one had run 4th in the Alan Jerkins, had won the Housebuster at Colonial just before that for Michael Tomlinson. So they run 1-2 last night at Churchill Downs in the Harrods Creek. 7 furlongs, over $250,000 up for grabs in the purse. So nice night last night at Churchill, following up on a nice afternoon at Parks. A couple of nice stakes as well at Belmont, and I'll just hit you with the results there at Belmont. In the Athenia, it was Love and Thunder getting it done. Jose Ortiz on board for Chad Brown. And in the Ashley T. Cole, City Man gets back to his winning ways in the Ashley T. Cole for Christophe Clement, with Trevor McCarthy on board as the just over even money favorite down at Belmont. So nice stakes action yesterday. Certainly will play into some races going forward, with notable names validating or jumping up a little bit and moving into a position of notice, as it were, I would say, society in that. It's shown plenty of ability before, but winning a race like that one yesterday, I think, places her firmly in that three-year-old filly division, top of the three-year-old, near the top. I think Nest is sitting there, but near the top of the three-year-old filly division. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, as promised earlier, nice day at Finger Lakes tomorrow, and so we wanted to give you a little update. Whenever there are midweek stakes, and when we can kick off the week with some stakes action, always worth noting. So if you're going to jump in and pay attention a little bit tomorrow, maybe Finger Lakes will attract your attention with a couple of nice stakes, and we'll talk with Tony Kahlo about those right after this. Stay tuned. Having trouble finding us? It's actually quite simple. Whether online or on your TV, it's never been easier to watch and wager on championship horse racing with Capital OTB. Simply log on to CapitalOTBBet.com. There you can watch our morning shows, live stream races, and wager on our state-of-the-art wagering platform. You can also watch from the comfort of your home on Spectrum Cable Channel 1250 or Fios Channel 467. And win more with Capital OTB.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops.
My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Birdstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, joined now by our friend Tony Kahlo from the Finger Lakes. Tony, good morning.
Hey, Seth, good morning to you. How's it going?
Very good. And I touted people. It's always fun when there are, you know, weekday stakes races, and got a couple of them tomorrow at Finger Lakes to kick off the week on a Monday. So if folks are playing on a Monday, take a look at Finger Lakes and some stakes action. We'll talk about that in a moment. Before we do, you and I were talking a little bit. Looks like maybe some inclement weather.
Yeah, it looks like a little bit of rain. It's raining right now, and looking at the forecast, looks like rain predicted throughout the Monday morning into the afternoon. So I would have to assume we're going to get some form of an off track.
All right, so we'll tell people to kind of keep their eyes on that for tomorrow, and if you're handicapping today, maybe factor that in a little bit. Let's jump in. Let's take a little look at some of the stakes action for tomorrow. The Lady Fingers, we're looking at two-year-old New York-bred fillies going 5.5. I pulled up a replay of Warsaw Ichi winning back on September 5th. Warsaw Ichi, the number 8 horse here. Career debut was an okay third. Showed market improvement, though, in this race. Wins off by the chart margin. Folks will see it here as we're watching the stretch run, but the actual chart margin, 7.5. I thought that was a pretty good performance. Clearly, the horse off of that will take a lot of action. What do you think in the Lady Fingers tomorrow?
Yeah, I agree with you on how she looked. She was very impressive winning, and she's already shown an affinity for an off-track. Both of her career races have been on wet racetracks, a good sealed racetrack. I will say this, in her debut run, the filly that beat her, I think it's a pretty good one. Her name was Small Pebbles, and she, you know, it's pretty interesting about Small Pebbles. She tried to debut. She had received a lot of action. She acted up at the starting gate, and she was scratched prior to that 22nd of August race. Well, here she comes back on the 22nd of August, probably a couple weeks later, and she received even more toe detention that day, and she just popped the starting gate, and Warsaw Ichi chased her the entire trip and could never bridge the gap. So that was a very good defeat as far as, like, the effort Warsaw Ichi put in. And she was very professional in her second career start. Now, I didn't, unfortunately, go back and look at the running times that particular day, but just looking at her on paper, you know, 23-1 and 47-2, her debut run, she's 2.5 off of 47. She might have to really improve a little bit in the her interior splits if she wants to really validate that 8-5 morning line, in my opinion. So I'm going to try to beat her.
Okay.
And, you know, from the local girls, Isabel Loves Gold looked good winning. I will say this. She had some issues in her initial start. She bore out through the turn. She was very competitive, and then she just, all of a sudden, her mind must have failed her, and she started to drift out significantly. Well, then she straightened herself out very nicely and had a good stride working in the final furlong. And she put it all together on the 8th of August. And it was a good-looking win. I'm not sure about behind her. You know, there's Puzzle. So both Warsaw Ichi and Isabel Loves Gold are beating up on Puzzle. I would say the third-place finisher is a filly that we want to keep in our memory bank going forward. Wait, wait, don't tell me. I actually endorsed her on the 9th of September, or the 5th of September, I should say. And I'm looking forward to watching her race again. I'll be picking her. So let's keep that one in the memory bank. You know, I think we've got a couple of interesting horses on the inside and the outside that could pose a little troubles to our local girls. We'll start with the girl on the outside. You know, here's a New York bred who debuted at Lone Star, didn't really run a jump, But then they took her to Louisiana Downs, and she looked pretty professional. I haven't been able to watch the replay yet, but it looks like she's on the inside, and she showed a little bit of grit, showed a little bit of heart. And, you know, I give that race a good look. Plus, she's running 5.5 furlongs. And from her outside post, she could be meant well. War Correspondent out of a Noonmark mare. I don't mind the Noonmark blood underneath. So I'm giving her a little look at 4-1. But I think I'm going to try to upset the apple cart here. You know, Svitseth, I like to go fishing. And I'm not a very good fisherman, but when it comes to horses, I like to try to sort out get a price horse. And I find the 1, Ruler of the Night, pretty intriguing at 10-1. You know, I just got done watching the replay. And here's my theory on this. I always have the utmost respect for any 2-year-olds that debut at Saratoga.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the saltiest 2-year-old spot in the country anywhere. So she races at Saratoga in her debut. She runs in a longer race than she's running today, so she's got some foundation. She shows plenty of good zip. She had good works leading up to her debut run, a decent maintenance move since. And the girl she battled with, You Glow Girl, was even money, and that's who she dealt with. And she was closer to You Glow Girl than anybody was at any given point of the race. Why can't we spring the upset with Ruler of the Night popping the starting gate? She has no You Glow Girl to deal with, and let's try to spring the big upset with that. That she'll be my top pick.
And the third place finisher that day, I just pulled up the chart for Crypto Mama, came back just recently, Belmont at the Big A, and was a winner down there. At 3-1 in a kind of fine fashion, over a length, and took them all the way around. So that kind of flatters that one. And I will also toss in Andre Worry, currently the leading rider up there, and riding very well.
He is. You know, and Andre was poised to win the title last year, and he had a bout with COVID late in the season, which cost him almost 3 weeks of action. He was our top jockey until he got ill, and I really believe he was going to be right there with Luis Perez. And this year, Andre looks like he's going to go wire to wire. I mean, unless something happens. He is riding exceptionally well. He has a very good clock in his head early. He knows how to put his horses into position. I think this horse is intriguing at 10-1. I think our girls are a little short on the morning line, and she'd be the one that I'd be inclined to take a look at.
Well, you mentioned a lot of the things that make this race really interesting. I mean, War Saichi, again, is going to take the action off of that win last time. But your horse, again, coming out of the Saratoga race, having shown a little bit of punch early, and that they have kind of the confidence to try this. And again, the third place finisher came back and won nicely. Woman on the Warpath, though, you're absolutely right that they took this New York bred and started at Lone Star in Louisiana Downs, and then said, you know what, let's go up and aim for this little stakes race up at the Finger Lakes. That one's interesting. Striking Melody, we didn't mention that one, but comes out of a turf debut up at Saratoga. Didn't show much there. But again, that they elect let's go out to the Finger Lakes and try our luck in the second start on the dirt. That one's a little bit intriguing as well. So there are kind of storylines all around here that you can hang your hat on.
And we didn't even talk about Charlie's horse. You know, Francis Paulangeli, who's a staunch supporter of New York racing. And I remember Drosselmeyer's Smile. She was a pretty good one. And this one received quite a bit of attention. I mean, if a young horse is less than 10-1 in its debut at Saratoga in a field of 8, there must be some positives.
Yeah.
This race isn't as simple as the 2 local girls dominating the morning line, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you're right. It is kind of a fun field with some interesting storylines there. And I hadn't even noticed the Charlie Baker horse. Yeah, getting 9-1 up at Saratoga. That's a little bit of action up there. All right, let's go earlier on the card. The aspirant is for the 2-year-old Colton Geldings at 5.5. I pulled up the replay looking at the funny side, Saratoga on August 26th. The winner's going to be Andiamo Afferenzi, the second-place finisher, Donegal Surges. The third-place finisher, number 1, Acoustic Avenue, or Av, is going to run third. Off of this effort, I thought that one was interesting, the short price on the morning line. Had won the career debut, the maiden special. So I think both Andiamo Afferenzi and Donegal Surges are going to turn out to be nice little runners themselves. So running third to those two, no shame there. So Acoustic Ave does kind of stick out, but your thoughts in the aspirant?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, we're not telling anybody, the people, anything they don't already know. The race goes through the 4 horse, no question about it. You know, one thing this year is the first year that the aspirant, I call it the aspirant, but I guess Ross Morton always used to call it the aspirant, so the aspirant, the aspirant, however you want to say it. But both of our two-year-old races this year are 5.5. They have been 6 furlongs in the past. So here's a 6-to-5 shot who has already run 6 and 6.5 furlongs, wins a maiden special weight at Saratoga 3-to-2, runs third to a couple of good ones, shortens up in distance. I mean, the race goes through him. It's hard to imagine him probably not winning. Now, with that said, of the local horses, and I don't know anything about Linda's debut runner, but I know Ralph D'Alessandro has been high on this Golden Them Hills. And if you happen to dial up the replay, that horse ran well. Now, Bobby Wright, I just typed in Bobby Wright on Equibase. I'm wondering why Bobby Wright's not in here. He's a New York bred. He had a workout on the 2nd of September. Obviously, I don't know what happened, but Bobby Wright's a pretty good one. He looked good winning, no question about it. I was very impressed with this Golden Them Hills. This horse showed a lot of professionalism, had every right to cave it in and get discouraged and backpedal. This horse actually had a good stride, and do take note, this horse was 4.5 in front of Mo Trump, and look what Mo Trump came back and did. Now, Mo Trump comes back and wins by almost 6 lengths. Now, both of those horses, Hutch and Blue Lieutenant, ran the other day, and Hutch finished 2nd in a maiden special weight to a big long shot. But I know Ralph's been high on this outside horse, and I give him a lot of credit. He gelded him, and instead of being enticed to bring this horse back awfully quickly for a maiden special weight race, he's playing his cards very strongly, gelds him, gives him a couple works, and he's going to go straight into the stakes race. So if anybody would maybe have a puncher's chance to upset the big favorite, that would be the horse I would lean with, Golden Them Hills at 7-2.
And I will defer to you on the pronunciation of the name of the stakes race, because I admit I was guessing where to put the emphasis there. But going back to Golden Them Hills, I'm going to be interested to see where the betting public goes. Because as you note, the morning line may be correct, because it was a nice win last time by Mo Trump. But that win should flatter Golden Them Hills. As I say, I'm going to be interested to see where those two wind up as they go in the gate odds-wise.
And it's funny, because I was prepared. Well, you know, I looked at the PPs real quick, and I thought this horse was Acoustic Ace. So I was ready to say Clement and Franco had an ace in the hole. And at the last second, I noticed the Avenue. And I don't know if it's Ab or Avenue, so I'm going to be at the mercy of going back and watching some replay. And I'll see what Johnny I called him. And I see the dam looks like Rock Avenue Road. There is a period after the Avenue.
Yeah.
I'm leaning to Acoustic Avenue, but Seth, you made me all of a sudden, I'm referring to the horse from a number standpoint. Well, the number 4 is looking pretty good now.
There you go. All right.
I had some guy on Twitter the other day giving me a little bit of grief about a pronunciation of a horse. We have a horse here, and it's all one word, and her name is Treat Her Like Star, but her dam is Treat Her Like a Lady by one word, all one word, and I just don't think Treat Her Like a Star makes as much sense as Treat Her Like a Star versus Treat Her Like Star. And I got into a little bit of a streak with him. No wonder why I avoided Twitter for all these years. Unbelievable. But he actually turned out to be a pretty cool individual. We had a great talk, and he's all, you know what, Tony, you're bringing up some good points. You know what, why don't you just do what you've been doing? I'm like, all right, we'll figure it out.
I will say those mushed up names, I am almost sure to get it wrong. I will be in here on the afternoon handicapping show, and I'll give it the pronunciation I think, and then the race will go off, and the race caller will put on, and I'll be like, you know, head and hands. Oh, I wasn't even And then once somebody pronounces it correctly, then you see, oh, yeah, it should be parsed out like that. Then it becomes totally obvious, but by then it's too late.
It's not very easy. I had a horse the other day, and for whatever reason, I mean, I knew it's a Chilean bred, but for some reason I wanted to pretend like the mother was from France, and I called the horse Mi Tre Por Ciento, and I said the name in the post parade. I said the name in the analysis. Well, you know, we've got a few guys from Puerto Rico that are jockey agents that work in our video department, and I'm flooded with calls after the fact. Tony, it's Trace. Trace, well, I said it in the parade. I said it in the analysis, but you guys all wait till I make a fool out of myself in the race call. Thanks a lot, guys. It's a lonely island up there, Seth. I'll tell you that.
I would have gone with you. As we're talking about it, I think I did go with you. I think I had your pronunciation as well. Before we let you go, we were talking before we went on the air, and you said you were watching some of the action yesterday at Parks, the Pennsylvania Derby. You know, I used Taba on top. I just thought, given what we saw early in the career, coming out of the maiden breaker in the debut and then to win the Santa Anita Derby, you kind of, you know, draw a line through the Kentucky Derby. That's a big ask in start three. But then the ding-dong battle with Cyberknife, and Taba kind of lived up to it. Certainly one that we're going to look forward to watching as the career progresses. And it's going to be fun now to see, given what the three-year-olds have done here in the late part of the season with Epicenter and the Travers and this performance. We're watching the stretch run here, Taba. It's going to be fun to see these three-year-olds face off with Life or with Flightline in the Breeders' Cup Classic. But your thoughts on the Pennsylvania Derby?
Without a doubt, Seth, I was very impressed. I had kind of had my doubts about Taba. I went shopping. That's just me. I went shopping with Tawny Port. Didn't run a jump. I had him boxed with the top three, and he didn't run a lick for me. But I have to admit, I was thoroughly impressed with Taba. And the more I think about it, you know, what they tried to ask of him early on to get to the Derby. Boy, this is a very nice horse. I do believe Epicenter is the cream of the crop, but I think Taba yesterday solidified himself as a close 1A or obviously solidified the number two spot.
Yeah, I totally agree. That was a very nice performance, and the three-year-olds are kind of acquitting themselves nicely as we get to the end of the season. How about Society in the Cotillion? Because I thought she also didn't surpass Nest by any means, but she moved herself up in the conversation of the three-year-old fillies with the win in the Cotillion.
Unfortunately, Seth, I did not see the race. I saw that she did win, and I'm not going to try to talk about something I didn't watch. But I'm definitely going to go watch the replay because you make it sound like it was pretty impressive.
Yeah, she wins by what the chart margin is just under six lengths, and she looked pretty good for Asmus.
Wow.
And well, you know, only the one defeat on the resume so far. So she stepped into the conversation, as they say, on the three-year-old filly side of things. Tony, we as always appreciate the conversation. When I reached out to have you on, we kind of texted back and forth, and you said you didn't make a Saratoga visit because we always like to, if you're in town, have you come over and sit in with us on the backstretch. So we'll have to plan that for next season. But how did you not swing down the thruway?
Well, yeah, you know, a big shout out to my beautiful girlfriend Jen Kowaleski. She lives in Pennsylvania, so I've been making a lot of treks to visit her. So,
all right, that's understandable. We'll give you a pass then.
Okay.
That makes.
All right. Hey, one quick promo. We are teaming up tomorrow with the DRF. All you got to do is go to drf.com, purchase any racetrack, and you get free Finger Lakes past performances. So I wanted to throw that out there.
Oh, absolutely. Nice. Very good. And also, did I hear correctly? I think on your simulcast the other day, is there a handicapping contest tomorrow?
Yeah. Thank you, Seth.
Yeah. So for folks here that. For folks here that may want to drive out and watch, yeah.
Yeah, free contest on track, $2,500 Handicappers Challenge. All you got to do is sign up for our Lucky North Club. Got to have a valid ID, $1,000 to the winner, 600 second, 400 third. We're going to be having voucher drawings for all the participants in the contest. It's a great deal. Chance to win $3,000. All you got to do is make your way to Finger Lakes Gaming and Racetrack tomorrow. 110 first post.
I'm glad we mentioned that because, yeah, I heard it on the simulcast last week, and I thought, oh, let's tout that a little bit because, yeah, folks can hop on the thruway and go right out to Finger Lakes, and that'll be fun, a little Monday afternoon handicapping contest. So we'll tell people to maybe put that on their agenda as well. Tony, as always, appreciate the visit. Always a lot of fun, and we'll talk again.
Seth, you're the greatest. We love you. You're a great ambassador for this sport, and Capital OTB and all of us in horse racing are lucky to have you, buddy.
I appreciate that. Right back at you, Tony. I appreciate everything you do as well. And as I say, we will talk again in the future.
You got it, my man.
Tony Kahlo from the Finger Lakes. Again, fun day tomorrow with a couple of nice little stakes races. And again, that handicapping contest, that could be fun. It could be a fun way to spend a Monday afternoon. Hop in the car in the morning and head out there and sign up for the contest, and maybe you'll walk away with a little extra dough at the end of your Monday afternoon. So keep that in mind as well. All right, I'm going to wrap things up. Be back in about an hour and a half or so with OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. Yesterday, there was no OTB Live because we were up at the Queensbury branch. We had a customer appreciation day. My first visit up there. It's a really nice branch. Right down around the corner from the Aviation Mall, in a little strip mall, but a nice branch. There was a nice crowd there. Got a lot of great feedback from people. That was kind of fun. Folks who enjoy the Saratoga programming, the programming all year long, had some folks walk up and say they're regular viewers and they appreciate the programming and watch and discuss afterwards and break down the picks and play along. And so, again, we always appreciate that kind of feedback. And then during the afternoon, we were also just getting some feedback from people as they were playing and looking and what did we like, what did they like, and looking at some Belmont and some parks during the afternoon. So it was fun. There was a contest that was a lot of fun during the afternoon. First and second place decided by 30 cents as there was, what, $75 to winner, $25 to second place. And as I say, it was a 30-cent decision between first and second. So that was kind of fun to watch during the afternoon as well. We had a little free food, and it was a nice afternoon at the Queensbury branch. So, again, to everybody up there, thanks for your participation. To the folks that administer the branch, great job up there this summer and yesterday as well. I was up with Shannon Donovan from the marketing department. A fun afternoon up at Queensbury. But today, back in the studio live in just about an hour and a half for a Sunday afternoon OTB Live. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.